Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun. A summer Sunday when you went insane. You said you're going, but I said I came. I'm throwing oranges in an apple cart. The ties that bind are tearing me apart. Jamie says, turn off the radio.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
We did take the temperature, if you will, of Santa Rosa County voters. We conducted a public opinion survey of voters, testing the actual ballot question, the extension of the half-cent sales tax, and the support that we saw from voters for that ballot measure in that public opinion survey was quite strong.
So this is Will Abberger. He is the vice president of the Trust Public Lands National Conservation Finance Program. I know it's a lot of words, but he's the guy that goes around and has been working with Santa Rosa County on this question of, you know, conserving public land. The Trust for Public Land is one entity that, you know, works on this project nationwide. And the basic idea is let's find cool stuff and let's keep it cool so that nobody develops on it and it stays that way forever. It's a benefit to the public. It's a benefit, for example, if it's buffering around Whiting Field, if it's protecting, Cold Creek, is that the one? I believe that it is. We went on, I had a chance to go on a kind of a kayak down there opportunity a couple of years ago with some of the commissioners and a whole bunch of other folks, and it was a great event, wonderful. Anyway, this is the sort of middle phase of the drama that began about 2 months ago, I think, a month ago. You remember the meeting where Rhett Rowell, the commissioner for District 3, the north end, the rural end, and also worth keeping in mind that every commissioner in Santa Rosa County is voted on by everybody. So even though they do kind of have their zones, they all represent all. It's not like in Escambia County where only the people in Beulah vote for the commissioner from Beulah, and, you know, so therefore the commissioner from Beulah, who happens to be Steve Stroberger right now, District 1. Well, it's kind of like five little kingdoms in Escambia County. And that's why you tend to have people defer heavily to what's going on in that district. Whereas in Santa Rosa County, there's everybody votes for everybody. It's just that you have to live in a certain particular area. So we do talk about the north end as being Rhett's area, and that's true. But really, Rhett's area is everybody. And Colton's area is everybody. And Carrie's area is everybody. And you know, so anyway, okay. So the issue is that Rhett Rowell is big on protecting farmland. He wants to conserve a lot of farmland, keep the rural life in Santa Rosa County, the rural life in Santa Rosa County. And, you know, kind of, it's not anti-development. It's just that there's a kind of thing that has to be done to keep the Santa Rosa County lifestyle the way it is, and also to keep the farming industry, which is a big part of Santa Rosa's identity, what it is. And so this all came to a head, like I said, about a month and a half ago at a meeting where Rhett sort of suddenly what he wanted to do is a commitment from the board that they would take some slice of the local option sales tax renewal, the half cent or half percent renewal that's up this year that goes to infrastructure and roads and, you know, fire engines. And it's limited what you can do with it. It's stuff and not salaries is the short version. And he wanted to promise to the people that some of that would go to land conservation, to preserving farmland. And the rest of the commissioners were kind of reluctant to do that. You know, it might have been a 3-2 vote now that I think about it, but I think it was anyway. And they basically, what they said was, look, we want to make sure we get the local option sales tax renewed. And they've got a company, you know, an organization out there, the Trust for Public Land, which is going to be doing some surveying. Surveying not land, but surveying of people. And what they're going to do is they're going to come back to us with a report. And this is this meeting. And they're going to tell us what people want. And if people say they're more likely to vote for the renewal for the local option sales tax or the half cent because it's got a land conservation component to it, then cool, let's do that. And if they don't say that, well, let's not do that because it's really important to Santa Rosa County finances to get that. It's about $16 million a year, I believe, get that renewed. let's find another way to do land conservation. And Rhett was just not having it. He was adamant that they had to do it, and they said, we're not going to. And he said, and made it into like they didn't want to support land conservation, which they did. Anyway, it became a big drama, and ultimately it kind of the other commissioners got their way, which is let's wait until, you know, this week. Well, so finally we're here, and they're giving the report, and that's what leads us to, you know, the current situation where they're having this conversation about the Trust for Public Land and getting this presentation from Will Alberger.
A lot of concern about growth and development, as you just heard from Commissioner Smith, talking about what he's hearing from his constituents, but strong support for continuing the half-cent sales tax, and really adding a significant conservation component to that, in addition to the funding that you were already potentially contemplating for roads and infrastructure and for public safety, including the sheriff's office and the fire department.
Yeah, so people do generally support this. He says they support conservation, they support roads. I mean, it's not a big surprise. I have not read the actual survey. I'm not sure if it's even available. I took a couple of courses or something. I mean, I definitely took one. I'm trying to remember if I took more than one course in surveying when I was in college. And I'll tell you that the way you ask questions is a big deal, you know, and it doesn't mean that surveys don't mean anything, but it does mean that how you ask them is very important, understanding the actual results that they get. But this seems right to me, you know, because if you ask people, do you want, you know, roads? Yes. Do you want storm water management? Yes. Do you want land conservation? Yes, because that's how you get things like parks and nature trails and also buffering for Whiting Field and, you know, pretty flowers and wildlife. I mean, you know, nobody says no to that. Anyway, he says their recommendation is to extend the local option sales tax and also have some kind of a component of it that involves, you know, land conservation, which makes sense because that's kind of their thing. That's literally the Trust for Public Land.
We recommend, as I've said, extension of the local option sales tax at the half cent amount. As I said, that generates about $15 to $16 million a year. And the tax impact for the average Santa Rosa County household is a continuation of that half-cent sales tax, about $95 a year.
Yeah, and $95 a year is not very much. Also, remember the advantage of a lost as opposed to a property tax general fund revenue is that it's paid largely by people who visit here. That's a, you know, maybe a little bit more relevant to Escambia County than it is to Santa Rosa, but Santa Rosa has a lot of visitors too. It just doesn't have hotels and that kind of stuff as much the same way, except out on the beach. Anyway, so he says, look, the purposes that people support for this are all the purposes.
Recommend that the purposes for the local option sales tax be to protect drinking water sources, protect natural areas from overdevelopment, protect the water quality of rivers, bays, and creeks, preserve farmland and preserve wildlife habitat, but then also to maintain and build roads and bridges and reduce traffic congestion and to improve public safety and modernize and improve equipment for the sheriff's office, for the fire department and the sheriff's office.
Yeah, again, public safety, roads, land conservation, water quality, people want it all, right? Okay, so Jerry Cooey, who is not an elected official, I mean, sometimes I know he thinks he is, but, you know, sometimes he gets stuff right, sometimes he gets stuff wrong. It's okay. He's a useful voice, okay? He represents a contrary voice a lot of times to what's going on with the commissioners.
Certainly, I want to see agricultural lands protected, but I think it needs to be done through the general budget, i.e., we've already set aside $2 million out of the general fund budget to start out with. My concern is, and I've said it before and I'm going to say it again, my concern is that this further waters down the total spend on road capacity.
Which sort of is a sensible concern, right? If you have $16 million coming in, and I apologize, I cannot tell you the exact amount, but, you know, if, say, $8 million of that goes to roads, and you're promising to put some amount, $500,000, $1 million a year into conservation land, well, that's $500,000 or $1 million less for roads. I mean, the money is the money, and if you take some out to go to X, then there's total minus X available for everything else. It's right. And he's a guy who has been saying, "I want roads, 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 roads." Now he thinks that the whole community only wants roads, 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 and I don't know whether he's right about that or not. He's certain he's right because, you know, Jerry always thinks he speaks for everybody. But then again, they had elections and he did not win his. You know, I mean, just not trying to be mean, but just, you know, that's the reality of it. But he says he would prefer to see it all go to roads and not to anything else because that's the big issue.
I think you would be far better served to run it as 100% for roads and then let our very gifted budget department pull monies from the general fund to fund these other things. I don't think I'm being unreasonable here.
So he wants to see the maximum amount spent on roads. He is for land conservation, farm conservation, which everybody is for, and he just doesn't want to see the roads budget or the money being spent on it being diminished. And as for the survey of the people in Santa Rosa County,
I do a survey every day, and people are tired of sitting in traffic. They are, and they continue to see it's not getting better, and they need help now.
This is kind of entertaining to me, because you have one company that got research done, went through something like a scientific method to ask questions, poll people, follow procedures, do what, you know, the science of statistics and sampling would tell you to do. And then we've got Jerry with his equally, maybe not quite equally, let's say totally non-scientific ways. Well, I know what people think. They tell me all the time. Well, that's the problem with sampling methods is you've got to do it right. And so the premise that, well, Jerry does a survey every day. Okay, did anybody pay you for that survey? What methods did you use? What numbers did you call? How did you avoid the bias towards landline versus cell phones? How did, you know, like, I mean, you know, but he doesn't want to hear what the Trust for Public Land has to say if it's contrary to his message of only spending the money on roads, which I'm sure for a lot of people is their only, and that's my point. I think for some people, Jerry represents them for sure. And I think for other people, Jerry does not represent them for sure. And so the commission has to figure out what to do about this. Now, a conversation piece that had come up in this, and I know David had done a little bit of reporting on this yesterday, is that when you're conserving land, there's at least two different kinds of land you can conserve. Kind number one is farmland. That's what Rhett Rowell is most interested in. Kind number two is, land that has, for example, vulnerable wildlife, vulnerable ecosystems, salt marshes, things that are pretty but not farmable. You know, there's kind of that other kind of land. You're not preserving it to be used instead of being built on. You're preserving it to be pretty and available and sensitive and protected instead of being built on or even being used. And so they were kind of having this conversation about, well, which one of those or both? And as would not maybe be all that surprising, is everybody wants to do everything. They want to do both. And, you know, even Rhett Rowell says, look, I want to do all of this, but I don't want to take money away from roads either, which I think is kind of a weird position to take. Because if your whole gig this far has been, let's take some of the local option sales tax renewal money and put it towards not roads, because by definition, land conservation is not roads. Well, you have been arguing to take money from roads. I know Rhett's not saying that, okay? And I know he's specifically saying he's not saying that. I'm just doing the math problem, which is how do you get to spend money from a fixed amount into not roads and claim that you're also not spending money on not roads? Like, it's, I don't know. But, and they're going to have a conversation about this today. This is the follow-up meeting is going to come this morning.
I think, just to be crystal clear, I think we're all in agreement.
Yeah.
I do not want to take any money from what's going to roads and infrastructure at this point. That way, I don't want to touch that percentage. When we get to that point, I know that's down the road, but I'm not trying at all to take from that. But again, I just wanted to make sure that was clear. I had not said that today, and I wanted to make sure that was well known.
I think that was a safe assumption, at least by those of us on the board.
Right, and all five of them have the same opinion. So what you've got, and Kerry Smith says, yes, I'm willing to do some for farmland conservation, some for sensitive ecosystems. You know, everybody's on board with that. And also he says,
so basically we're looking general funding or staying in this lost range, not affecting roads, correct? Not affecting roads.
And what they came to an agreement on Tuesday was, let's go back, do our homework, talk to staff, see what we can come up with. And then Thursday, we're going to have a better proposal where we can actually maybe make a decision. I don't know if they'll make a decision today or not. But here's where I think the commission is at, and I don't think that it's a tenable position. They want to get people to renew the local option sales tax. I agree that makes sense. I mean, it would be crazy to imagine giving up $16 million a year of money that is mostly paid, or at least heavily paid, by tourists as opposed to, you know, people who live here through their property taxes, because that's kind of your alternative, or fees that's also going to hit the locals. So if you're going to raise revenue, the sales tax makes a lot of sense for that. But the problem is they're trying to get it passed, and that's going to involve overcoming the belief that the money hasn't been spent well already, the belief that taxes are bad. Santa Rosa County hates taxes, generally speaking. So how do you persuade people to do that? If you do include the land conservation in the pledge about what you're going to do with the lost renewal, well, then you're going to be spending less on roads and stormwater, which is kind of Jerry's point. And if you don't promise it, then you're going to have to get the money from somewhere, which is general fund revenue, which could also be used for roads or stormwater or anything else. And so if we're talking about increasing the amount of money being spent on land conservation and not reducing the amount of money spent on roads and not raising taxes, well, the math doesn't math. Same plus more makes more spending. Revenue, same without more makes same. So you can't spend more while revenueing same unless you change something. John, did I go too fast?
No, you didn't at all.
Now, they know this. Okay, they're smart guys. They know. I'm not saying anything they don't know, but yet they've kind of put themselves in this awkward position of promising to spend more without generating more somehow and without spending less on roads. So I am curious to see how they solve this nut today. It does not sound like a nut that can be solved, but they're smart guys and they know this. I'm not telling them or you anything that they don't know. So, I mean, I'm curious what happens today, but that's where we're at. And everybody's happy until the details come out. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, sometimes you want answers.
Sometimes you just want something upbeat.
Either way, Meg's got you covered. Pet Talk, weekdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Do you promise to use her as you will?
Certainly.
Not to blast her into space? Until such time as you grow weary of her.
I do.
I do not.
Tried to work that line into my wedding vows. Until such time as you grow weary of her, you know.
But it wasn't successful.
Did not make
for
the
you.
Final edit. Yeah. So no.
Joke. The final joke. Edit.
David Wayne is in the news. I don't know how that happened. You know, write your own vows, but let me edit them. Anyway, no, that's not true. We wrote our own vows and, you know. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our. I feel like I've gotten myself in a situation I can't get out of easily here. 529. Oh, I keep forgetting, David. I'm trying to learn.
I can do some headlines if you'd like some.
Give it to me.
Well, the Pentagon sending some more troops to the Middle East as the war with Iran continues. That includes elements of the 82nd Airborne Division, the deployment adding to the growing presence of U.S. forces in the region.
Yeah, what did I see here? Was it Mike Johnson? I forget who it was yesterday. Made this. There are not boots on the ground, even though we're sending ground troops to the region, which is true. I mean, it's a question of which, and I saw the meme on social media, which was a bunch of troops wearing Crocs. So you're like, see, no boots on the ground.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Israel claims another top Iranian military official has been taken out.
IRGC Navy Commander Alireza Tangsiri was targeted overnight in a strike in the city of Bandar Abbas, Iran. Tangsiri was directly responsible for commanding the closure of the Strait of Hormuz.
That's Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. High security in New York City. Former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro appears this morning at a hearing before a federal judge.
Several issues are expected to be discussed, including how the sides will handle evidence to be shared and presented, and possibly Maduro's motion to dismiss charges, including narco-terrorism, cocaine importation, and weapons counts.
Fox's General Scott reporting the U.S. military arrested Maduro and his wife in Venezuela nearly 3 months ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got right now 62 degrees with cloudy skies here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast. Brooke Richardson has that for us in just a few minutes. Visit Pensacola is looking for new leadership. The board of directors voting yesterday not to renew president and CEO Darren Schaefer's contract when it expires in September. Schaefer will stay on through the transition until an interim CEO is named. The board will then conduct a nationwide search for a permanent replacement. Just last week, Schaefer had touted tourism numbers that were up more than 23% over last year. A major construction milestone moving forward at Milton's Interchange Park. Santa Rosa County commissioners are set to approve nearly $19.5 million contract for the first phase of a new wastewater treatment plant. Assistant County Administrator Jared Lowe says the project is on track and within budget.
You've previously approved a guaranteed maximum price that funds Longley electrical equipment. This funds the first $250,000 gallons a day of capacity, and then you'll have a third and final one probably in a month or so that'll get us to the end of the project.
And the total project budget is about $30 million. A third and final contract phase is expected within the next month or so. An 18-year-old Pensacola man is facing attempted murder charges after allegedly firing multiple shots at a home and a car on Walton Street early on Saturday. Charm Neva Fales was arrested Tuesday, charged with attempted murder, damaging property, and firing into a vehicle and a building. The shooting happened on March 21st. Fales is being held in the Escambia County Jail. Well, if you're an ECUA customer, they've got a new app that's been out for a little while now. It's free and lets you report issues, track work orders, and pay your bills without having to call in and wait on hold. Executive Director Bruce Woody says saving customers time also saves them money.
We are a public utility, not a private investment utility. Right. We don't sell bonds. We don't sell stocks. We don't have a high-paid CEO. The way we provide support to our customers is to provide the most financially efficient job we can and be as responsive as we can.
The ECUA app launched in February. It's available now as a free download. The Foley Police Department warning residents about a scam using an AI-generated voice impersonating Police Chief Kevin Carnley to solicit money over the phone. The department says Chief Carnley and no other FPD employees will ever call asking for money. If you receive one of those calls, they're telling people just to hang up. If you have any questions, you're encouraged to visit the police department in person. A Pensacola woman is facing 26 felony charges after investigators say she possessed child sexual abuse material and filmed herself engaging in sexual activity with her dog. Valen Ada Marie Harab, 24, was arrested Monday after a cyber tip traced a flagged Snapchat account back to her. Investigators say that account contained child sexual abuse material involving an infant. Harab reportedly admitted to investigators that she had filmed multiple videos involving her dog and shared them with others. Nine animals were removed from her property in Milton during a civil seizure in January. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a check on our forecast.
We are going to be looking at some nice sunny weather today, high near 76 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62. For Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Looking at sunshine as you head into your Saturday, high near 77 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. It is 62, cloudy skies. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Muskegon County Sheriff Chip Simmons, inviting you to Cops, Cars, and Crawfish. It'll be April the 11th at Five Flags Speedway. This event will have a car show beginning at 7:30 until 9:30. At 10 o'clock, the gates will open. At 11 o'clock, we'll serve crawfish plates from Cubs Crawfish. We'll have hamburgers and hot dog plates. We'll have balloon animals, games, face painting, and more for the kids. All proceeds for this event will benefit the Muskegon County Sheriff Foundation and their mission to support the heroes of the Muskegon County Sheriff's Office. Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, April the 11th.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
You don't stop needing information just because you left the car. That's why News Radio 92.3 goes with you.
On your phone, on your computer,
wherever you are. Stream us live or download the News Radio 92.3 app. Stay connected to local news, breaking updates, and conversations that matter, even when you're not near a radio.
And that's a good thing.
It's News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Update, just giving you some percentages as I have the last few weeks. Stormwater infrastructure 80% complete, still on track to be done April 3rd. Curb and gutter install 80% complete, on track for April 24th. Irrigation is 90% complete, almost done, and that'll be done April 10th. And then the paver installation is about halfway done and will be complete by May 8th.
So on track or ahead of track, and we're more than halfway there. And, you know, it's kind of the, you know, before you know it, it'll be all over and everything will be mostly fine. Mayor Reeves joins us now. DC Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. Sir, basically the project is more than halfway done, right?
That's right. Yeah, still on track, on schedule for May 24th. You know, I get asked about it at every event that I'm at, and with lots of what I consider pretty consensus about finally, once we people saw that, hey, the sidewalks are open and hey, this thing's moving really quickly. And by the way, and a huge thank you to your listeners and everybody else continuing to support businesses. We're hearing good reports from them that
right.
You know, people continue to remain supportive. So, you know, it turns out, as I always say on the show and in my job, change causes anxiety. And when you propose change, it's hard, and now when you see the reality of what is to come, I think that's really turned some attitudes around compared to some of the conversations and water cooler talk previous to the project beginning.
You know, when this is all done, you're going to have here's the problem that I suspect you're going to have. The aesthetic of it is, I think, going to be fantastic. I love the aesthetic of this thing. I know some people disagree, but that's fine. Okay, we might wrangle about that, yeah. But at least that's something you can see and look at and go, oh, shiny and new, looks cool. What you're not going to get credit for is the problem that no longer exists with the stormwater, right? You know, nobody is going to do the every 2 month update of, hey, no floods this week on Palafox. You know, like, but that's the big value of this project. And what is it? Is it 2 inches of rain in an hour? What is the metric that it can handle?
Yeah. Well, a couple things. You're disappointing me. I had this vision that I was going to have citizens giving like a thumbs up next to one of the new stormwater outfalls and saying, you know, good job there. I didn't.
Doing selfies next to the storm drain and celebrating every couple days on Instagram. Right. Right.
Exactly. Crushing my hopes of that picture coming to life. But no, it's 97,000 gallons of stormwater, and that is the equivalent of if we took a bucket like we were on Nickelodeon and dropped 1 inch of rain on the entire project area, it would be immediately taken into the storm drain, and that's the increased capacity. That's 1 inch instantaneously, not 1 inch over an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours. So that's the level of increase of stormwater just on the Palafox project itself.
That's amazing. All right, so let's talk about the controversy. You know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
Palm trees on Palafox?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I actually took this as good news. I saw the front page of PNJ.com, and I realized I've made it. That 3.5 years into this job, the biggest controversy we have is 12 palm trees. So all of my fellow mayors are very jealous of me that is the biggest controversy we have in our
city
right
okay, now. Okay, but, okay. I do have to say, in all fairness, there have been others, and the PNJ has reported on them. But no, fair enough. I mean, this
right.
is the big thing at the moment,
high,
right?
I'm taking the high water mark.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, this has been on the plan since 24 or 25. And obviously, there's a local landscape architecture firm, Gary Pate Company, that's done many projects around the world, including in Pensacola, including Jefferson Street, that designed these. The ultimate argument of those is number one. Well, the ones that we're hearing is one, these aren't native, which is actually the state tree of Florida, and it is native. And as a matter of fact, we saved a couple dozen of these, or give or take, at Bruce Beach that are there right now. And so we see people cutting them down, but so that's one misperception. And then the second part is, which I find interesting, because some people that had criticized taking some of the parking bays where it is also where these are going in. Well, the entire argument of that was to increase dwell time and dwell space and to have room to move around or have tables and things like that. Well, if you only put trees that have where the leaves and the limbs are stretching out and taking up some of that newly created space, then that kind of is in conflict with the idea of creating more dwell space throughout. So the good news is this, where it's about a plus 40 or 50 tree project. And so at the end of the day, these 12 palm trees are in addition to another about 38 in addition to the ones that already exist. So we aren't losing canopy, we're net gaining canopy significantly across the project. So again, I rely on our experts that do this for a living all over the world, and we think they've done a pretty good job.
And I may have blinked with my ears if you mentioned it, but the root system is also a benefit because, as I understand it, palm trees don't develop this ginormous lateral root system. They're more of a ball root, and so, which is part of what makes them vulnerable a lot of times to storms, but that it won't be this ongoing disruption to the pavers and the streets and the sidewalks and all of that over time. Is that right?
That's correct. And then also understand, again, I strongly suggest that there's people posting one photo on Facebook and then saying this is how everything's going to be. And actually, what I found kind of funny, too, is I think one of the criticisms was, hey, this isn't South Florida, this is New Orleans. And then I saw someone post a photo from Canal Street, which is lined with palm trees, so or Charleston. So, again, everybody's going to have an opinion on something like that, which they certainly have their right to do.
Yeah.
I can tell you the mayor doesn't hand select tree types throughout these. Again, we rely on professionals to do this. And I think it is important to point out in summation that there is a benefit There are benefits to having these palm trees that have been thought through. And in terms of the sustainability, there's plenty of tree canopy and shade being created throughout the street, et cetera.
I'm just not sure I can go on with the level of misinformation, Mr. Mayor, that you're providing. I mean, you know, you're trying to tell me that palm trees are native to Northwest Florida. You keep claiming that there are no secret tunnels underneath the ground in Pensacola, and your dad's Rolls Royce wasn't even owned by John Lennon. Like, I can't go on with all of the, you know, the things surrounding you. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves.
I understand.
Based on the picture I saw on social media, the TSA line at the checking area for the airport out on Pensacola Beach was terrible yesterday. What else are you keeping from us?
Yeah, exactly. I always do appreciate, you know, the 5% of people who react to that saying, hey, that's not it.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, not knowing that it's actually, you know, an AI photo.
The people who knew just enough to say that it was fake are the most horrifying to me. That's the scariest one to me.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
All right. On serious matters, though, the airport is still running well. So far, so good. I know you took some time yesterday to talk about the employees, and you appreciate their hard work. You know, but goodwill only lasts so long. What can the city do to maybe alleviate some of the pain, help them out? I know you maybe can't do much because it's federal employees, but we like what's happening now. We hope it doesn't last too long. At a certain point, goodwill ends.
Yeah, that's right. And so, 110 TSA employees there. And we're certainly appreciative. That number was not as big when we were having those issues, you know, a couple of years ago. And there's been more local leadership and more local communication, frankly, ever since we kind of had to, pound the fist on the table a couple of years ago when we were running into all those issues. And so we try to appreciate them. Every now and then we'll bring donuts to the back room back there, just from our office, you know, saying thank you, not even during these times, but just to keep our airport going and how important this airport is for our economy and for our residents. And so as a matter of fact, we posted something that I mentioned yesterday that we've been in contact, or we know that Mana Food Pantries is reaching out to TSA folks who may not be getting paychecks. We've had a few residents or visitors send emails to the airport saying, like, how can we help? And I think we're trying to set up some ways to get gift cards to them if that's something that you want to participate in. So, you know, these are people that, again, that are helping keep our airport running when they have a perfectly good excuse not to.
Right.
And so, you know, we just want to be appreciative of that. And make sure you give them a genuine thank you if you're going through those TSA lines here in the next few days.
You know,
because again, if they decided to not show up, you may not be going to wherever you're going. So I think that's important.
And you know, though I don't want to be the one to say it publicly on the radio or anything, in a way, this whole kerfuffle is finally, for maybe the first time in history, given TSA agents some sympathetic, positive press.
Right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a,
Absolutely.
So I was talking, Santa Rosa County, at Kerry Smith, Commissioner Smith, had brought up a kind of an interesting proposal. It was, I think, doomed to not go anywhere. They were going to follow, like, subdivisions that were being developed. They wanted to put up some signs explaining that it wasn't them who approved the subdivision. It was approved in 06 or 18 or whatever. But I think that was like the small potatoes version of the problem. What they're really complaining about a lot is misinformation and malicious information, you know, dis and misinformation on social media. And it got me thinking about the job of a public information officer. And, you know, I'm not saying you need to tax your people with it, but I'm asking you this question is, what do you think about the idea of basically directing a PIO and saying, your job is to go tell the truth on social media, find the errors, correct them gently, politely, kindly, with a thick skin, but let's fix some of this. Because look, you and your team are very responsive to me. You're very responsive to, you know, Randy at Channel 3 and, you know, Lisa, P&J or Jim Noller, whoever. But a lot of people get their bad information from sources that you guys are maybe not actively engaged on. And I know you're pretty active for a politician on social media, but have you ever thought about that as a strategy? You know, let's get out there and correct some of this stuff.
Yeah, actually, I'd love to. I could probably do a 15-minute segment next time I'm in the studio on just this because of my background. You know, background as a journalist and having opinions on that. And you hit the nail on the head. The unfortunate issue of today is there's as much credence given to comments on Facebook or Instagram or on Reddit from anonymous sources as true. And then it becomes this general government burden, the bad guys, quote unquote, kind of a stereotype that it's given. And the media was the same way. You know, when you look at approval ratings of media or government, and they're low. And so then it becomes this guilty until proven innocent scenario. And so I get asked all the time, well, you know, hey, why are you, some mayors don't do that. Why do you active on social media? Because if I'm not, then I'll go to the next three Rotary clubs or town halls having to answer for some person who may not even live here saying something about getting a $500 parking ticket that doesn't exist. So, you know, it's those types of things that's just unfortunately, like it or not, whether I like it or not, that is the new age of information and misinformation is anybody that can say anything under any fake name they want, and then it becomes the job of the government to come prove that person isn't correct.
Right.
That the burden of proof has changed to such a small level that it makes things difficult with information and misinformation, for sure.
And, you know, the people who yell the loudest about anonymous sourcing and bias in mainstream media turn right around and give a total pass to the most ridiculous, flagrant falsehoods on social media and the unbelievable bias and ignorance that most of it represents and lump us all in. You know, I'm with you. You know. We always like to end with something a little bit fun, lightning round, quick questions for you. First one, how do you unload your grocery cart? Do you stand behind the cart on the tall end and reach over because you're relatively tall, or do you go in front of it and turn backwards and load to the conveyor from the front of the cart?
Neither. Usually from the side. Maybe the Publix that I go to has got more room.
Yeah,
but,
luxury
kind
living.
Of either back or side, I guess. I've got enough wingspan, former basketball player, you know, I can get down there.
That's right. Tell me a sport that you were shocked to find out people didn't understand the rules for as a sports journalist.
Ooh, man. I'll be honest. There's a lot. I would put it this way. Mainstream sports like football or basketball, where there's somebody yelling from the stands where they definitely think they know the rules that are not correct. That's what I would say. It's not so much one sport. It's people yelling about what rule, a fake rule that doesn't exist. I think maybe not the finer points of the major sports.
I was just stunned to find out that all of the people that I play kickball, many of the people who are younger, you know, like 25, and I love playing with them. They're fabulous people, but they don't know the basic rules of baseball. And I was like, I thought everybody knew this stuff, and they don't, you know, and just, right. People just don't know what they don't know. Right.
Exactly.
All right. Last one. Chuck Norris, of course, passed away over the weekend. Do you have a favorite Chuck Norris movie and or role, or a favorite Chuck Norris quote, joke, or both?
Oh man, not offhand. What was your choice?
Oh well, I just saw one yesterday that I thought was fantastic. It said that it was Chuck Norris standing next to a picture of Chuck Norris with a hat on, and the caption was, "Chuck Norris admitted to using stunt doubles in his movies, but only for the parts where he's required to cry."
Exactly. Yeah, those are always good, man. Those were big 20 years ago. I've left them out of my brain and put in more things about stormwater. But
we were okay. That's payback for the Rolls Royce comment. Yeah. That's fine. All right, I'll take it, old man. You know, I heard what you said, Mayor DC Reeves. As always, sir, a pleasure. Thank you for the. First of all, like referencing Nickelodeon. And then having the gall to call me old man for when those jokes were funny. All right. I see where we're at here in D.C. That's fine. I would say I don't remember, but I will not. So 5:53 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need work done on any of the complex systems in your home, electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, heating, generator work, you know, whether to be installed or to be maintained, Peden, they take care of all that stuff and have been doing that since 1959 all along the Gulf Coast. You know, Robert Peden started this company as a way of doing, you know, air conditioning, because my theory about this is he was hot. And it was summer, and it was Florida, and so he, you know, wanted to kind of solve that problem. And then expanded over time, and from, you know, Panama City west here to Pensacola, east to Tallahassee. Then, of course, in the last couple of years, I've gone into Baldwin County and into Mobile as well. Good quality people, products, and they stand by their work 100% satisfaction guarantee. And right now, with every year, there's changes in the rules regarding things like the air conditioning systems, and so new systems come in, old systems have to be sold, but old systems are not... the new ones, and so, you know, they come at a discount. So you can beat the annual regulatory price bumps with Peden's new year old stock sale. Take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Also before the real heat hits, because we're not quite there yet, but it's soon. Call or book online at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Christy and Darren Costello are the owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Let me introduce you to Social Mirror. This is when we take the best content from your social media platform and deliver it to the phones, tablets, and computers of your target audience, where they live or wherever they go on the internet. You can add a call to action that sends people to your website or opens up their phone app with your phone number on it or gives them directions to find you. All of this comes with reporting to show how many people saw the ad and reacted to it.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
What do we get for $10? Everything you want. Everything, everything.
Good morning, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A lot of news yesterday. A lot of it kind of awful news yesterday. You know, I've heard David talking about some of this with the car chase. Well, PPD says they're not exactly sure what the extent of the chase was, but somebody fled a traffic stop and then ran into somebody else and killed the other driver. It's horrible. You had this, we've had several, I don't know whether to call them high profile, but, you know, I mean, people died in car crashes over the last couple of days. You had that one over in Navarre, which was just west of 87 and north of 98, and all those roads that are, sort of half-developed, they're half-forest, half-developed, you know, the crisscrossing grids there, and basically a 16-year-old was driving, did not stop at the stop sign, and crashed into a van and killed the dad. And the kid's very seriously wounded, you know, injured, like a 12-year-old. It's horrible. My comment to John at the time was, you know, I'm just looking back, I'm glad I didn't kill anybody when I was 16 or hurt anybody so bad, you know, at all. I mean, because I think we're all not good drivers at that age, and it's just awful. And then you had this story on Lillian Highway where the allegation here is that this woman was, drunk. That's, you know, what the charges are, it looks like. And, you know, she's wanders off onto the apron on Lillian High, which is not very wide to begin with, but somebody's over there pushing an e-bike, hits him, kills him. And then apparently, like, did a U-ey somewhere down the road and came back. And now whether that's because, you know, she wanted to see or we don't know, or whether she just got confused. I mean, who knows? But just horrible, horrible story. I mean, just, you know, please be careful when you're driving because there's just a lot of things out there happening, seem to be happening right now. You know, you got this kid with the funny name, the, you know, charged with attempted homicide for shooting into the car. What's his name? It's, I know the last part is Never Fails, is Charm Never Fails. And then the headline on Channel 3 is Charm Fails. I mean, I don't think they meant it on purpose, but, you know, yeah. Yeah, so a lot of things. And then you have the Milton story about the woman with their pets and the kids and the film. And it's just, I mean, there's awful stuff going on in the world. You know, really genuinely weird, bad. So just, I don't know, man. Pray for your people, you know? Pray for your people. Pray for everybody. It seems like we need it. Somebody the other day said maybe it's the daylight time change. I don't know, but I hope we don't have anything like this next week.